I've changed my mind. I'll have a prayer, Lord willing, next Sunday morning. It's hard to realize that'll still be June, but Steve will have, in July and August, I'm going to let the men, and Van thanks, I'm going to let the men. So Steve will have the first Sunday in July, and Dwayne the second Sunday, and I'll ask you ahead of time. I know what you're willing to do, but I still want to hear it from you that you're willing to do that. So now let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I am using the New King James Version. And I thank Jody for his prayer earlier and for Van today. And again, let me repeat, when we have a prayer, we're talking to God. And when we read the Bible, he's talking to us. Can't beat that, can you? That's an unbeatable combination. Here's the outline in the New King James Version for chapter 4. The light of Christ's gospel. I like that. Light and gospel. That'll be verses 1 through 6. Then Paul was cast down, but he was not conquered, was he? So that'll be verses 7 through 15. And I thought a lot about it. I'm often cast down, but I'm not to be conquered. So can we learn that from the Apostle Paul? And the part of the chapter I really like will be the last part. I wonder why. Seeing the invisible. Now, looking ahead for next week, I'm going to emphasize tent, judgment, and reconciliation. So, and the emphasis will be on reconciliation. But I like that for verses 16, 17, and 18. Seeing the invisible. If we're not careful, we see the temporary, don't we? Next week we'll emphasize, is our body temporary or permanent? I still remember Patrick. Are you a body with maybe a spirit? Some would argue about a spirit. Or are you a spirit with a body? Spirit's invisible. The body, though, is temporary, isn't it? Let's read the chapter. Light, the light of Christ's gospel, verses 1 through 6. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received, what did Paul receive? Mercy. I like that word, don't you? Boy, we sure need mercy. We do not lose heart. Did Paul ever lose heart? Are we to lose heart? But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience. And Jody, I did like the emphasis on the conscience. In the sight of God. We're noting the emphasis on God in our letter. But even if our gospel is veiled. Remember, we thought about the veil of Moses last week. It is veiled to those who are what? Perishing or lost. Whose minds the God of this age has blinded. who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves. Now, I would say Paul was a great preacher. But for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, that was the goal of Paul. Did he achieve it? And ourselves, your bondservants, I like the word slave a little better, for Jesus' sake. Now, give you something to think about. Was there a lot of difference between slavery in the Old Testament and even the New than slavery in our history? I would affirm there is. A lot of difference. So when we think about slavery in our country, please don't think about what the Bible had to say about slavery, old and new. Verse 6, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to put 7 to 15 together. Cast down, but unconquered. I like that. This letter is particularly, Paul was often cast down, wasn't he? But he was unconquered. We've already noted the frequent references to the Father, to the Son, and not as often, but sometimes there will be a reference to the Spirit. And as we noted last week, or earlier in our study, there was even a reference to Satan. Did Paul ever forget that? Satan was out to get him. He didn't want that. So, I like 7 through 15. But we have this treasure. The gospel is treasure, isn't it? In what kind of vessels? Earthen vessels. Paul was of the earth, wasn't he? Human being. But he had the gospel, the good news, the treasure. So I like verse 7. That the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Now, I still remember Saul of Tarsus, the persecutor. I can still picture him going into a home. Didn't matter whether there's a man or woman. He even included the women. But then he became the Apostle Paul, persecuted. And I believe it's chapter 11 we'll get. All I can say is, none of us have ever suffered like that. And hopefully never will. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Every day, did Paul wonder whether he'd live or die? We haven't reached that point yet, have we? That the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And I like the emphasis in the Bible, death, life. So then death is working in us, but what in the Corinthians? Life. Wow. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound in the glory of God. Grace. Oh, the grace of God, the favor of God, the blessing of God, and then thanksgiving, praise. We're really thankful for that grace. Will we spend time in praise and thanksgiving? Now, as I've already said, wonder why. I like the next verses. Seeing the invisible. I'm still working on that. I hope you are too. That would be verses 16 through the close of the chapter, verse 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing. Now, I'll just say I can't do it 88. What I did at 78 and definitely even 68. We won't go any farther than that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but those of us that are a little older, I believe we could raise our hand. So, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, if the outer man is just like a tent, I did read in one of the magazines, one of the social clubs, I would say, with all of our technology, some of us might live to 125. Wow. I'm thinking about, am I going to live to be 100? But are we made to live forever? Even if we make 125? So, for our light affliction, I'd probably use the word for Paul, it was heavy affliction. But that's not what he wrote, is it? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. We're not careful. We think, oh, my life has always been unfair. Oh, this has happened and that has happened. But when we come to chapter 11, we think all that Paul suffered physically and then, well, how are the churches doing? We're not anywhere near there, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are what? Temporary. We're not careful. We think they're permanent, aren't they? They'll last forever. But the things which are not seen are eternal. That was quite a challenge. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I'll shut up and let you talk. If you don't, I have enough, I can. But anyway, Van, again, thanks for the prayer. So, my wife recommended, and I agree, I need to stay up front, but we'll go to my right. And remember, I have a little difficulty hearing, and I will admit I have new units, but I'm having to get used to them. I haven't quite mastered that yet. So, but anyone on the right like to make a comment or add a verse to our reading today? Okay, Steve.
No, I just verse 3. I thought was really something that we can take with us, or at least it's important to me because it says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the god of this age has blinded." And so, when we find ourselves and we're trying to talk to somebody, and it feels like that they're not able to pick up what it is that we're trying to explain, it's not always us. And sometimes their mind, because the god of this age, the world, because of that, they're not able to really even understand what it is that we're trying to teach them.
Okay. We could be blinded or have a veil on. We need to realize. Appreciate the comment. I still believe, where's the power? It's of God. Don't forget that. Power is going to be in this book, not in you or me. Okay, let's go to the other side. Anyone have a comment or another verse you'd like to add to 2 Corinthians 4? Okay, let's go back. Oh, yeah, Dwayne, let you go ahead.
I was just going to say that in verse 16, that the fact that we recognize that our bodies decay, but what's inside, our spirit, goes on forever. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's a hard concept to look at, but it's true, and if we accept that yes, we're here, and we may be here 100 years or 120 years, or we act like that's a big deal. Well, back in the Old Testament, people lived a lot longer than that, some of them. And so, but we just need to remember that even though, yeah, we have aches and pains and, you know, sometimes it's harder to get up in the morning, that inside we are the same as we were 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, as far as our faith. And we're going home when we're finished here.
I like that. Paul said, all I've been through is just light for the moment. But I'm talking about something that's exceeding eternal weight. But now, if we're not careful, I agree with you. We might think, put the emphasis on the outer, but Paul put the emphasis not only in the outer, but especially the inner. Okay, go ahead.
Afflictions is just for a moment. So in reality, sometimes we do struggle and it seems very that we can't bear it, we can't go through it. And I'm just looking at this verse that says it is light, and but for a moment, so that is like kind of a motivation, like something to put up in your house, so that when you struggle, you can remember this verse to see the end instead of focusing on the moment.
I still remember Steve emphasizing, now we have an abundant life. We can be ready for death. And then we're going to have, I still can't comprehend it, eternal life. We're so time bound, aren't we? Time will never end. Wow. Okay. Did you notice, and I was deliberate, comments, verses? Now, if you want to say anything, have a question, or say something about God or what you'll remember from my reading, let's go to my right. Okay, Jody?
Persecuted but not destroyed or not forsaken. Mm-hmm. I think about in the Old Testament, when Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, God delivered Daniel from the lions. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was thrown in the fiery furnace, God delivered them in the fiery furnace. Yet when you come to the New Testament, what you see, Stephen was stoned. Now, could God have saved Stephen from being stoned? Yes, he could. But God did not save Stephen from being stoned. He didn't save James from being beheaded. In the Old Testament, it seems God's deliverance was of the physical nature. Man's body, Daniel's body, was not consumed. And yet in our dispensation and time, the glory God receives is in us not loving our lives even unto death. And so we're not forsaken ever. Even in the persecution, even in the trials, and even in the death that we suffer for our martyrdom, we're not forsaken by God, but we are in fact glorified God because of our faith.
God didn't forsake the Apostle Paul, did he? Okay. Appreciate that. Anyone to my left? We'll not go into who's on the right and who's on the left, but as I see it, on the anyone have a question? Something you'd like to say about God? Or how we respond to the chapter, how we should live for that God.
Verse 6 shows God's power. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, takes you all the way back to the beginning of time when God said, let there be light, and there was light. It's a powerful thought that light, vision, ability to understand, all is from God.
That's what I will remember about God. God commanded. God said. And also in the chapter, God sees. God looks. And then, since this is true, I need to watch my thinking, don't I? What I think about the gospel. What I think about trials. And what I even think about my outlook, the outer or the inner. I need to watch the way I think. Appreciate. Okay, probably enough time, and that's our authority. It's 2:50, so I'll try to keep my eyes on it in 10:15. If I'm still going, remember you have permission, raise your hand and say, hey, the bell is rung. So I'm impressed as we go through this letter. And again, let me repeat. Read it as a letter. Forget about the chapters and verses. read it as a letter. You might be surprised how it all goes together and how certain key words are mentioned over and over again. So, please, if you can, read it as a letter. That is, you begin with it and close with it. A letter. And he's writing to those in Corinth that he wants what's best for them. So, I'm emphasizing the first seven chapters first. And then my favorite part of the book probably is giving, chapters 8 and 9. And then there'll be chapters 10 through 13. Now, you might, as you read it as a letter, do you agree with me or not? First seven chapters is more those that liked Paul. And chapters 10 through 13 was more those that didn't. And then one day it dawned on me, hey, some like Jesus, some didn't. So, will there be some that like me and some that dislike me? Now, I don't think Paul was jumping up and down that some in Corinth liked him and some didn't. And for me, now, again, I'll mention, I don't know what the thorn of the flesh was. Does the book say? Did Paul ever say? Really? Now, I can give you the possibilities. Okay, figuratively speaking, if there's someone following Paul, whether it's one man or a group of men and women, oh, don't pay any attention to him. He doesn't know what he's saying. Boy, that would be a thorn, wouldn't it? If someone this morning stood up and said, hey, I don't agree with you. Leave. Would I like that? Or would I not? So, I have found three approaches to Scripture. And I'll confess, sometimes I like to bypass. But number one, what does the text really say? And what about the context of what it said? Now, sometimes the context would be as simple as what goes before and after. Sometimes the context would be the paragraph in which it's found. Sometimes the context might even be the chapter. And our theme is, for 2 Corinthians, guess what the context is? Read the whole letter. The heart of Paul. But still, there was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, for our chapter this morning, I would give ministry. Now, think of what we've already studied. Comfort. Forgiveness. Covenant. And then today, ministry. That might be a future way of studying 2 Corinthians. Is a major thought in each chapter? And what does the whole book say? Whatever the theme is. So, maybe that's one way. Another, and we'll get to it. Now, remember, our thesis has been Paul knew the Old Testament. He also knew the world in which he lived. He knew both Greek and Hebrew. So, But we're going to find as we continue into our study, Paul, there's going to be a lot of quotations from either the Old or the New. How did he use the Old Testament that he knew? So that may be, it's another way. If we look at a theme, what does the book have to say about it? And all of the puzzle fits. That's what it says. And then, and I'm already giving thought to it. Church growth in 2 Corinthians. Ever thought about 2 Corinthians as a manual on church growth? I've heard it all my life, and I still agree with it. Truth, we do not compromise it. But means and methods can change. Now, is the church going to be here at Sanford, surviving, growing, 10 years from now? 25 years from now? 50 years from now? 100 years from now? None of us will be here 100 years from now, will we? Not likely. Or some of us would have been around a while. So now is the time to think about it. What am I willing to give up to reach the church? The unchurched, help them remove the veil and let the power be with from God with the truth. What am I willing to give up if the day ever comes in our country when it's really not popular to be a real follower of Jesus? I don't want to compromise the truth, but what am I willing to change? Didn't Paul talk about he became all things to all men to reach some? So, I'm already thinking about it. Let me encourage you to do the same. I would say we want the church here forever. Surviving, growing, whether we're here or not. From heaven's perspective, if God wants a church in Sanford, doesn't matter what we think, say, or do, does it? So, what can I do to help that be a reality now? So, think about that. And I'm going to close on this. Let me share with you. Normally I won't do this, but I like this outline, a little more in depth for our chapter. There are a lot of contrasts. Let's go and see if that's true. The hidden and the not hidden, or the open. Is that in verses 1 and 2? Therefore, since we have this ministry, didn't we study last week that Paul was a minister of the new covenant? So, as we have received mercy, did Paul ever forget that he had persecuted the church? He didn't let it happen or hinder him. But did he ever forget, hey, I was a persecutor? And I was sometimes even very violent when I persecuted the church. Did he ever remember, forget that? Or did he thank God for his mercy? But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, or we might like the word a little better, trickery, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Did Paul handle the word of God deceitfully? Or were some in Corinth handling it deceitfully? But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, have we read about what was hidden and open? Now let's go to verses 3 and 4. The words blinded, and then I would use the word, this outline, enlightened. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. Would Satan like for us to be blind? Did he want Paul to be blind? Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So, blind, enlightened, light. Now we go to verse 5. Do we have slaves and a master? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your, and again, I emphasize, I like the word slaves a little better, your slaves for Jesus' sake. Oh, I'm not a slave. Never have been. Really? Doesn't the book say somewhere if we follow sin instead of Jesus, are we a slave to sin? So, I like that. Slaves and master. Verse 6, we have darkness and light. And again, Jody, thanks for your comment. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. Let there be light. Was there still a lot of darkness and no light? So, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. According to this outline, verse 7, you have what's frail and mighty. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. You might find it interesting to read several English translations for verse 6. Now verses 8 through 10 we're going to put together. Trials and triumph. Paul had a lot of trials. But I remember he won, didn't he? Okay, let's see. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. In 11 and 12, there's again death, life. Verse 12, so then death is working in us, but life in you. I still remember they cut Paul's head off. Wow. You're here 1 second, your head's gone the next. It's going to be a funeral, isn't there? And then I remember, according to tradition, and my reading has indicated, first they killed Peter's wife. And then tradition is, Peter said, well, crucify me upside down. Jesus was crucified up, not down. Verse 13, the written and the spoken. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, that's in Psalm 116:10, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak. We have what's written. And we have some in our brotherhood that do an excellent job in speaking. Verse 14, the past and the future. Knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus. That happened in the past, didn't it? And will present us with you. Can you picture Paul and the Corinthians before the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Okay. I heard that. verse 15, there's grace and thanksgiving. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, there be the outward, the inward, and I'm going to go over a little. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Was Paul ever discouraged? Did he give up? So, I like the translation, he didn't give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now remember, there's a series of contrasts. Outward, inward. Verse 17, affliction and glory. Paul had both, but in the future he's going to have glory, isn't he? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And then for verse 18, and I'll apologize for going over a little. The temporary and the eternal. Let me repeat that. The temporary and the eternal. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thanks again for coming, and we'll look forward. I'll pray next week, but then Steve and Dwayne will, and others of you later. So, again, read chapter 5 for next week.